Blog Talk Radio.
Come shine your light, open your heart, show us your gift that sets you apart. When you believe, then you can see that you are the star of your own destiny.
Hi, and welcome to the Honoring Hour. Today is July 27th, and gosh, this year is just flying by. My daughter and I were talking about it being almost August, and before you know it, it's going to be Christmas time. So we are just thankful for every day that we have. Speaking of thankful, I want to say thank you to those of you who have been to my website, www.thehonoringhour.com, and have provided some donations. I am so grateful to those of you that are here to help keep the show going and just keep things moving. That's wonderful, and you have been very generous, and thank you to those of you also in the future who will be doing the same. I want to let you know that on August 3rd, Karen and I will be doing an animal communication and channeled message again. We're looking forward to having you join us, and Karen Wrigley will be in North Carolina that weekend, next weekend, presenting live and in person down there. You can probably find out more information about that on her website, KarenWrigley.com. On August 10th, we're going to have Patricia Cota Robles talking to us about the changes going on the planet. I'm really excited to have her on there, so I hope that you'll join us as well. And I hope that you all have been having a fantastic summer here in the U.S. It's awfully hot in my area. I hope that you all are experiencing some beautiful weather, although I understand it's pretty hot everywhere. That brings us to today's show, and I actually found out about my guest today through Karen, who said, hey, have you ever checked out this guy's newsletter? And she sent me the link, and that's how I found Tom Moore. Tom is an author, a speaker, as well as the president and CEO of his own international motion picture and TV program distribution business. He's a busy man. So I'd like to welcome to the show Tom. How are you doing, Tom?
Doing great. Thank you. Lynn, and hello to everyone out there in Radio Land.
Great. Now, Tom, I've actually invited you on here today because you have written two books. The first one is titled The Gentle Way, and you talk a lot about benevolent outcomes. Can you tell me how you got into doing that, especially given that your background is in entertainment? How did you get to this?
Almost an oxymoron. So I have always been a person that thought outside the box, so to speak. I had to because when I was much younger, I really didn't have any money. When I graduated from TCU way back, I went into the Army for a couple of years with ROTC because I had that was the way I was able to pay for part of my schooling, and then I still had a student loan after that. And so when I started my first business, it was actually a ski club for single adults in Dallas, Texas. And all the other ski clubs in the country were nonprofit, but mine was profit. And yeah, that grew eventually to a international wholesale tour company with 3,000 travel agents in the United States selling our tours. And so after my wife and I sold that business, then I didn't know anything about the film distribution business, but that didn't deter me. I just started it, and for 25 years I was the only international film distributor between New York and Los Angeles. So and people kept telling me, oh, you can't do this. You have to move to Los Angeles or New York. And I said, nope, I'm going to do it here. So I've always been that way. I've always kind of looked for edges, something to help me because I was very business-oriented. And long about 14 years ago, I was reading a spiritual article in the Sedona Journal of Emergence, written by Robert Shapiro, who he's a master trance channel, and one of the beings that he channeled said, well, you can request benevolent outcomes in your life. And I thought, gosh, that sounds interesting. I think I'll experiment with that, because I've previously had done lots of experimenting with all sorts of different modalities, you know, law of attraction, power of positive thinking. I made a lot of money in the travel business because I listened to an astrologer who said that the Dallas Cowboys were not going to the Super Bowl that year, but they were going the next one, and they'd never been at that time. And I reserved 300 airline seats a year in advance and was the first tour operator to ever run a trip to the Super Bowl. And I started recording my dreams in 1979 on a daily basis, and that's really helped me visualizing it all. So these are all things that, you know, just kind of thinking outside the box. And so I started experimenting with requesting benevolent outcomes for the very mundane things in life. You know, a parking spot in front of the place that I would pick up the mail in a busy section of Dallas, or a parking spot in front of a busy restaurant or the mall or something like that. And I just found that it was the first thing that I could ever say worked perfectly. And even when I didn't think it worked perfectly, I would find out, you know, maybe months later or a year later or something, that it had worked perfectly because something else was coming along that was better for me. And that's one of the things that, you know, when you have the law of attraction, you try and attract things to you, but maybe that's not the most benevolent thing for you. So that's why I say it works perfectly.
Awesome. So is there a special way that you make the requests? How do you recommend doing that?
Right. I was, as I say, I experimented with that because no one kind of told me how to do it since I was the first one. And so I eventually found out I was inspired to say it in a way that anyone can say it with any belief system. So in other words, in my belief system, I believe it's my guardian angel that is responding to this request. But you can believe it's God, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Allah. It doesn't matter who you believe the request is going to, because it works perfectly. Okay? So when I say it, if you notice, there's no deities involved. I say, I request a most benevolent outcome for a parking spot in front of On the Borders restaurant or something. Thank you. You know, whatever you're doing, it has to be something specific, and we can get into the rules in a little while about requesting benevolent outcomes. But basically, it has to be something specific for you. Benevolent prayers, which we can get into later, are what you say for other people. Okay. And as I say, it just works perfectly. So that's all you have to say. And you only have to say it once, but some people feel like, oh, my gosh, I need to say this several times to make sure the word gets through. And my guardian angel, Theo, tells me that it doesn't matter if you want to say it multiple times. That's fine, because they understand that we all have this fear factor in our lives. But he says, you only have to request a benevolent outcome one time, and that's it.
Okay. So you actually are talking to your guardian angel, Theo, but someone else could be talking to, you know, if they are into Buddhism, they could be talking to Buddha. That doesn't matter, which I love that about this benevolent outcome. I think that's fantastic. It bridges all of the belief systems.
Exactly. And I wrote my book for all belief systems as best I could.
Right. How did you, were you communicating with Theo before this, or did that just kind of come in when you started picking this up?
No. As I said, I started requesting benevolent outcomes 14 years ago, and I didn't start communicating with, quote, spirit until 2005. And okay. I feel... Now, Theo has since told me that there are some great advantages to requesting benevolent outcomes that I didn't know about when I started. All I cared about it was that it was working great. You know, it was like, wow, this happened. Oh, my goodness, that's so neat. And but he told me that what happens is that when you start requesting benevolent outcomes, it puts you on a path where your vibrational rate starts to raise. And it's the first major step that you do when you start co-creating with spirit. And that's very important. He said that you can read all the articles and books and you know, listen to people talk and everything, but until you start implementing all of this, you remain on sort of a level, on a plateau. And once you start requesting benevolent outcomes, he says this is the easiest way to start raising your vibrational level, to start ascending, if you want to call it that. And it really just puts you on this fantastic path where your life is easier. Instead of going along a road, and as he describes it, you hit a wall and you have to climb over the wall. Instead, the wall becomes a speed bump. The challenges are still there. You have to have challenges in your life, but the challenges are easier when you request benevolent outcomes.
Okay. So, I mean, is this a great time to go over the rules? Am I jumping ahead of myself here?
No, we can. Okay. First of all, I've got six rules, and probably I need to go through them one time, because I find when I start talking about them, I'll go off, and 5 minutes later I'll come back to the next rule. So one, you must request the assistance. Number two, it must be benevolent, not only for you, but for everyone connected with the request. Three, it must be a request for you specifically. Benevolent prayers are what you say for others. Four, it must be said out loud or in writing if you can't speak. Five, there is no limit on the number of times you can request benevolent outcomes. Trust in the process. Start with the mundane. And that was actually number six. Trust in the process. Start with the mundane. So back to number one, you have to request the assistance. Theo says that they cannot offer us assistance unless we're in a life and death situation, and our soul contract is that we are to live to be an older age. And so they'll step in and have someone save us, or they might be the ones that will physically manifest and step in to assist us. But otherwise, we have to request assistance. And I said, well, who said you were not supposed to? And he said, your souls. Our souls, when they went into this, gave the instructions to the guardian angels that they could only help us when we requested. And then they do it with joyfulness. They are thrilled to do this, because these guardian angels, I found out, are very, very old souls, and they emanate a golden light, so they're called golden light beings, and they're extremely powerful. And just to give you a small idea of how powerful they are, I use the analogy that my guardian angel Theo could handle 2 million requests for a parking spot all at the same time and not break a sweat, to use 3D analogy. Okay? So these are very powerful beings, much more powerful than my maybe original idea of Clarence getting his wings and It's a Wonderful Life or something. You know, they're really powerful. Okay, number two, it must be benevolent for not only you, but for everyone connected with the request. Now, that means that it does have to be benevolent. I use an extreme example. A soldier in Afghanistan can't say, well, I request a benevolent outcome to kill my enemy before he kills me. He can't do that, because it's not benevolent for everyone. But he can say, I request a most benevolent outcome for returning from this patrol safely. Thank you. Or I request a benevolent outcome for my truck to get from Kabul to my outpost. Thank you. Safely. So you can do that. Number three, it must be a request for you specifically. Benevolent prayers are what you say for others. That's just the way it is. Benevolent prayers go to a different set of angels, Theo says, and so the MBOs, as I call them, most benevolent outcomes, are said for you. And four, it must be said out loud in writing. Now, what Theo has explained to me is that when you say this out loud, it creates an energy, okay? So the more emotion that you can say these benevolent requests, the more energy it creates, okay? And it's the same even with requesting benevolent prayers, I should say asking benevolent prayers for other people. The more people that say them together, the more energy it creates. Okay, so that's something that's very important. And if someone is not able to speak, then certainly they can write it out and write it with emotion. Okay, there's no limit to the number of times you can request benevolent outcomes. I've requested benevolent outcomes at least 15,000 or more times. I have no idea because I never thought to start counting them. But I've requested thousands of them, and there's no end in sight. And then you have to trust in the process. I always tell people to start with these mundane requests of the parking spots or a seat on a bus or a train or a subway or something like that, where you get immediate feedback and you start trusting in it, because that's what happened to me. And then when I started requesting things in my business life and personal life and everything that takes longer, Theo says humans are impatient. Says that with humor, but that's true. I'll get emails and people will say, "Well, I requested a benevolent outcome, for a boyfriend, and it's been a month and I don't have one yet," or something like that, you know. And you just have to give your guardian angel a little time.
Right. Theo must know me when he's talking about impatient people.
Well, he knows all of us.
Right.
And I've asked him, you know, well, how do you always know the answers to give or whatever? And he says, I am able to tap into billions of lives, you know, because keep in mind, one of the things that he has pointed out is that all the lives we have on Earth are all going on simultaneously, okay? They're all happening at the same time. And so your guardian angel is actually taking care of you. He's told me that most people will have 600 to 800 lives on average on Earth. So he's taking care of me and all those lives that I've had and will have on Earth. And I asked him, I said, well, why is there such a big difference between the 600 number and the 800 number? And he says, well, Tom, he says, guardian angels have their own interests just like humans do. You know, some humans want to be artists. Some people want to be scientists. That's the same with your guardian angels, that they have their own, your souls, they have their own interests. And so some of them want to get the lives over with quickly. So they will be what I call the drama queens, where something is happening in their lives every week, it seems, you know, something tragic or something, some challenge is happening. And it may be because their souls want to get their lives over with very fast. And then other souls say, I'll take a while. I'll have 800 and I'll get all the things that I have to get in this earth school, but it'll take me 800. So that's sort of the way it goes. And then we're all having a total of 12 parallel lives, all at the same time for each one of those 600 to 800 lives. So our guardian angels are pretty busy guys.
Wow.
And girls.
That's like mind blowing when you start to think of that and how that
plays out. Yeah, when you get into timelines, it really is mind-blowing, because you know, there are 12 timelines, 11 of them physical, one non-physical. We're on timeline number 6 in the middle of the pack. And so there are our lives that are easier as you go higher in the timelines, and our lives are more difficult in the lower timelines. So that's because our souls want to experience everything that it could possibly experience for any given life. And so they have these parallel lives all going on at the same time, which I might add, other societies in the universe don't do. We're the only ones.
Again, making Earth a very unique place to be.
Yep. It's so unique that as Theo says, parking is at a premium around Earth, because we have as many as 12 or 15 motherships, as they're called, that are sitting out there from other universes, not our universe, that are seeing this amazing Earth experiment. Plus, we have all the other motherships from sitting around taking readings and everything that are from our universe. So we're very popular people.
Mm-hmm. So for somebody who might have a lot of stuff going on in their life, let's say we've got one of those people that are drama queens out there, which, by the way, I just want to say that explanation of the drama queen just offers an ability for me to have so much more compassion on a conscious level for them, that they're just trying to experience as much as they can. So thank you very much for that.
Right, and they don't know that they're trying to experience that. I mean, for them, it's a hard life, you have to understand, but they're doing what their souls want them to do. So, yes, have compassion for these people that it seems they just have one challenge after another, because their souls have said, this is what you're going to do. These are your marching orders.
Mm-hmm. Right. So for somebody that's in that situation and there's so much going on and they want so much change or they're needing something and they want to jump to the big stuff, you know, but they need to start with the little stuff, do you have any words of wisdom for them? I mean, obviously start with the mundane. But when you're desperate, like for somebody that's ill, you know, I mean, if you're not to the point where you're grateful for each hour, you know, maybe you're not that ill, but you just want to feel better. You know, how do they start? How do they find the mundane? Does Theo offer
sure.
any?
Well, he has suggested, you know, a couple of different things they can say. One would be, I request the most benevolent outcome to be led to the most beneficial treatments for my condition. Thank you. Okay. Now, that can take a little time. And suddenly they will be inspired. And inspiration, keep in mind, is different than what I do with Theo in meditation. In meditation, I'm receiving what are called thought packets that I interpret according to my knowledge, belief system, understanding, all this other stuff. And so these are actually messages. But when you're inspired, your whole energetic being can be inspired, and it could be even your big toe that's inspired. Every time there's going to be maybe a bad storm in your area, your toe starts hurting. That's inspiration, okay? So it can take any type of form when you're inspired. You just have to listen to those little whispers in your ear to be drawn to looking on the internet for one day, and you happen to have the idea to click on a certain word combination, and that gives you the answer to perhaps a medical problem you're having. And I just saw that this morning on TV. Some people had twins that were suffering a debilitating thing that looked like MS. But the lady got on the internet and she was fooling around, and she found the correct treatment for them. So that does happen through inspiration. The other thing you can do is when you're feeling pain and everything, you can say, I request a most benevolent outcome for great calming, healing energy to be sent in massive amounts to me at this time. Thank you. Okay. And so these are things that people have told me that when they've said this, they suddenly have this great feeling that comes into their body, this great energy. So these are things that, that your guardian angels will lovingly give you, if you, but you have to ask.
Okay. Tom, before we get much further, can you let people know how they can sign up for your newsletter and the best way to reach you before we... I like to do that several times during the show.
Sure. Okay, first of all, my website is www.thegentlewaybook.com. Okay, thegentlewaybook.com. Now, on the homepage, there's a little box on the right-hand side that you can sign up for my newsletter. Now, the newsletter, as I mentioned, will have questions sent to me from people from all over the world for me to ask Theo in my meditation, also Gaia for things about the Earth questions. And so that's a fairly more advanced, but I mean, it's up to you whether you want to do that. For people that are just getting into requesting benevolent outcomes, I have two sample chapters on that website that you can read that will give you more ideas of things that you can start to request on mundane type stuff. And then there's a place on the homepage that you can click on that will take you to my blogs. I have a weekly blog that's normally 1,500, 2,000 words a week, and these are MBO stories and benevolent prayer stories that are sent to me from my readers from all over the world. I mean, I get them from everywhere. And these are great stories because it gives you insights to common problems that people are having all over the world. It really starts making you more of a world citizen as you understand that the problems that we have are the same that everyone else has in different parts of the world. So these are things that can really assist you and raise your vibrational rate, I think. So please explore my website. All of my newsletters are archived, so you can start with the newest one and start working backwards, and you'll get a really tremendous amount of information, and hopefully you'll see some things that are sort of like gaps in information where I have asked a question and gotten an answer, but I should have probably asked a follow-up question, and maybe I didn't. And you can come back to me and say, well, I didn't see you ask this question, Tom. Can you ask this? And if I haven't asked it, then I'll be happy to.
Okay. Yes, and there's quite a bit of information on there. I was just saying before the show to Tom that, having you on the show, I wanted to kind of get a feel for what you were putting out there. And yeah, the newsletters are fantastic. There's just so much information.
Yeah, each one of the newsletters normally is 11 or 12 pages a week, so it's some pretty good reading. But I can't seemingly keep it down below that. Although this week, since I'm having to send my newsletter and blog out a day early because I'm going down to Houston to be a featured speaker at the Soul Explosion and Living Green Expo down there, I'm only at about 7 or 8 pages right now. So on my newsletter. So unless people start, sending in some more questions, I'm going to be a little short this week.
Mm. Well, I'm still sure it will still be packed with lots of good information, even if it is a few pages shy of its normal length. And so Tom, how did you get to Theo? You said that didn't come until about 6 years ago. How did you come across Theo? How did you make contact with him?
Sure. It came about because my wife and I, my wife wanted to go to a Dick Sutphen, S-U-T-P-H-E-N, seminar. If you've heard of him, he has written books like You Were Born Again to Be Together, I think, and Past Lives, Future Loves. He's also a great hypnotist. And so I had been to a couple of his seminars before, but my wife had not. And so I said, well, I'll go along. I probably won't get anything out of it, but I'll go. And this was in Sedona. And so in July of 2005, we went to his Increasing Your Psychic Abilities seminar, I think it was called. And so he would take us down into an altered state to explore different things. And on the second day or so, he planned to take us down and have us try out automatic writing. At that time, I decided to try and contact an Indian shaman that had been channeled for me by Robert Shapiro, the guy that I mentioned wrote that article and I'd become friends with. And so when he put us under, I said, Reveals the Mysteries, that's his name in English, are you there? And he said, yes, Tom, I am. And I said, ooh, this is neat. And so I said, well, why am I the only guy pushing this, requesting benevolent outcomes out here for years? And he said, Tom, he said, you're an Indian shaman living at the same time I am here in the 1600s in the western United States, and you had decided to incarnate into the 20th and 21st centuries to reintroduce people to the gentle way. And I got the name of the book the first time I ever spoke with him. So it wasn't too long. I started with Reveals the Mysteries, and eventually I sort of graduated to speaking with my own guardian angel. And Theo is not his real name, but Theo says, Tom, he says, humans do not have the vocal cords to pronounce our angelic names. And he said, all you would do would be frustrated if you're to try. He said, what you should do, he says, we're not big on names over here. You can call me Tom, Dick, or Harry, but Tom may be a little confusing in your meditations. Okay? So he has a lot of humor. He really does. And so I started thinking, well, what am I going to call him? And this kind of went on for like a week or so. And it just suddenly popped into my mind the name Theo. And that was just a name that I feel comfortable in calling about. So for everyone out there, and I have lots of people that ask me that all the time, you know, how can I find out what my guardian angel's name is? Just say, guardian angel, what name should I call you? And say that out loud, okay? And you may receive an immediate answer back, or it may be, you know, a few days or a week or two, but one of these days you're going to be kind of not thinking of anything, and suddenly this name will pop into your head, and it could be Margaret or Paul or whatever. It doesn't matter what name, but it'll be some name that you feel comfortable with, and it may be a name that dates back to a past life or something like that that your guardian angel knows that you feel comfortable with, and that will be the name you can call your guardian angel.
Okay. So you also answer from Gaia. How did you did Theo just kind of lead to Gaia, and you know?
Led to Theo. Maybe. I was getting a lot of information about Earth changes from Reveals the Mysteries, almost from the very start that he started communicating with me, and so I eventually started communicating with Gaia, and I have found that what I didn't understand, when you get into Earth changes, I did not understand that Gaia does Earth changes with the approval of our souls. Okay, I thought Gaia did Earth changes, and our souls kind of said, "Oh well, here it comes. It's hitting the fan," so to speak, and we just have to roll with the punches. But that's not the way. It's done with soul contracts and everything. And so I was getting information that there was going to be some really big earthquakes, which did not happen. And it took me a long time to understand, to finally get the information that it was because our souls had decided that not to have that happen at that time. So as an example, last summer, I was receiving the information that Japan was going to have a major earthquake coming around the last week of August or the 1st of September, and it didn't happen. And lo and behold, 7 months later, it happened. And then I was being told that California was going to have some major earthquakes around the week right after Christmas. And that has not happened yet. And Gaia says that it was because the souls had decided, you know, not to have it happen all at once. And so she's still going to move the earth in California, but it's going to be more, you know, like one big earthquake here, another one there, but not all connected together. There's also going to be another major Japanese earthquake of 8.0 or more that's supposed to be happening within the next 5 months. And Puerto Rico is supposed to have a major earthquake in a little over 5 months. So these are sort of the things that I get from Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not trying to nail down the date, because at one time, I mean, I was getting the dates within like a week or so. So I, you know, I got really happy with myself, and, you know, I'm putting out when I'm getting information that Japan is going to go, and I'm giving almost the exact date, and then it doesn't happen. It, you know, it takes a little learning. We have egg on our face, and then we go back and say, well, now why didn't this work like this?
Mm-hmm. Well, it takes a lot of collaboration if we're talking about all those souls. And what a great example to us in our daily lives, too, that collaboration on that level can happen.
Yes, and does. And it,
yeah.
And people sign up for these lives where something is going to happen, you know, whether it be a tsunami, as it happened in Japan. I mean, those people were lined up for that life, you know, a couple of million years ago. They knew it was going to happen. So that's it gets into very interesting things about soul contracts when you start asking about that.
Now, in going through your newsletters, you seem to take such a wide variety of questions. Is there any question that you really discourage, like it's just not an area that I want to approach, or you just kind of like ask it, and if I answer it, I do, if I don't, I don't?
Well, some people tend to ask me about, well, what do you think of this person and that's putting out this information? And for the most part, Theo will tell me, this is for you, for your people to decide whether this information resonates with them or not. Now, every once in a while, the person will be putting out such information that Theo feels a need to comment on it. But for the most part, he feels that we should decide whether that information is good for us or not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things. Also, he will not tell me or will tell anyone else to take this path or that path. We have to decide. And that's one of the good things to remember, that if you start communicating with your guardian angel in meditation, because all you have to do is go into a light alpha state in order to do this. You don't have to go into a deep meditative state. In fact, it's very difficult to do if you go too deep. But one of the things to remember is, first of all, you really need to surround yourself with white light for protection, and then request a benevolent outcome that the messages you receive are you receive them perfect, and that has your guardian angel step in also to protect you. But as you're receiving these messages, if a being that you're wind up speaking to starts telling you to do this and to do that, then that's someone that you don't need to be talking to. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It could be a lower level entity that has tried to get in on the party, so to speak, and influence you to do something that's not in your best interest. So just keep that in mind, that surround yourself with white light, request benevolent outcomes when you meditate, and you'll be fine. But one of the ways that I know Theo is working for me is that he never, ever tells me to do something. I have to decide to do it on my own.
Mm-hmm. Right, because we all have free will.
All have free will. But one of the major things that I forgot to mention that requesting benevolent outcomes does for you is that it keeps you on your soul contract. So as an example, you can request the perfect job for you. You can request the perfect mate for you. You can request the perfect home for you. But it, you know, if you say, I request the most benevolent outcome that that I become a great lover with Mary, okay, or John, or whatever you know the person's name is. If that's not in your best interest and in your soul contract, then that's not going to happen. So it keeps you on your soul contract. A few years ago, I tried to raise money for a package of movies based on some spy stories from a English writer in World War II. And I was doing this in conjunction with a friend of mine who lives in Paris that's originally from Dallas. And I every time I would almost put the financing together, it would fall apart for the strangest reasons. And this happened over and over again. And finally I asked Theo, I said, why, you know, I was requesting benevolent outcomes, why didn't this happen? And he said, Tom, he said, that was not on your soul contract. And had you taken that path, you would never reach the people that you will with your speaking and your books. And so there you go. A good example of how it keeps you on the straight and narrow path. And I might add, that is a path that you chose before this life as being the very, very best life you could possibly have on this timeline. Okay? The very best life. So you have free will, but if you go off the reservation, so to speak, if you take another path, then that life will not, the rest of your life will not be as good as the one that you could have had you stayed on your soul contract.
Mm-hmm. So can you request a benevolent outcome? I'm not sure how it would be phrased, but to like be shown opportunities that are on your highest path?
Well, again, when you request when you say, I request a most benevolent outcome for the perfect job for me,
mm-hmm.
that's really soul contract kind of stuff. Or you say, okay, I request a most benevolent outcome for the perfect mate for me. Or I request a most benevolent outcome for the perfect home for me. Again, these are all major, major things in your life, but you have to understand they may not happen in a week, a month, or even a year. You know, it may be if on that perfect job that maybe you need to have one other job, perhaps, that will prepare you for that perfect job, and you get that one. Or perhaps it means that person who's in that job right now needs to get promoted, or he needs to be offered a better job with another company, and that opens the door for you to get that job. So there are many machinations that have to happen for you to get that perfect job. And you have to understand, you have to be patient.
So, well, I'm hearing you talk about these things that are profound. However, they're still, on the surface, they sound pretty generic. I request the most perfect or benevolent outcome for the most perfect job for me. That's generic, but then it's also very specific. It just could be more.
Well, it sets up the overall thing. But then, you know, when you go in for a job interview, you say, I request the most benevolent outcome for this job interview, and may the results be even better than I can hope for or expect. Thank you. And so what happens, maybe you're not the right person for them, but he'll be inspired suddenly to say, oh, but, you know, my friend down the street at such and such a place, he's looking for someone just like you. You know, with your credentials, why don't you give them a try?
Mm.
You don't know. So, again, you start in a daily aspect, you start requesting benevolent outcomes like that. And in your daily work, you can say, I request the most benevolent outcome for my sales today to be even better than I can hope for or expect. Or, I mean, there's just so many things in work. I request the most benevolent outcome for my meeting with my boss today, and may the results be even better than I can hope for or expect. If you're being physically or mentally or sexually abused, you can request benevolent outcomes before you report it to whoever you have to report it to. And it could be someone outside the company, you know. But when you request benevolent outcomes, things will go in your favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because in your bio, you know, you talk about how this has made your life easier in a lot of ways using these benevolent outcomes.
Absolutely. And in so many different ways, it just makes your life easier. And when you read those MBO stories on my blogs, it'll be one story after another saying, oh, I can't believe I was so fearful or I was so worried, you know, and then this happened, and it was just amazing. This works perfectly. It's just so great. I mean, I get stories like that all the time. Now, you know, before we wind up things today, we probably need to cover benevolent prayers, which you say for other people.
We do. Thank you.
And benevolent prayers, you say a little different than requests for benevolent outcomes. You say, I request for your benevolent outcomes. But in my first book, I call benevolent prayers living prayers, because that's kind of what I've been told. And I struggled with that, first of all, because there were so many different ways to say a living prayer. And in my second book, I was able to finally be inspired to have you say it about the same way every single time, like you do requesting benevolent outcomes. And again, it's with not calling in any deities or anything. You simply say, I ask any and all beings to come to the aid and assistance of my friend John, you know, and may the results be even better than we can hope for or expect. Thank you. Or you can say, I request the most benevolent outcome to keep the people that are trapped in the ruins of the earthquake in Japan safe until they are rescued. Thank you. You know, you feel helpless when you read about these tragic events around the world, but when you say that benevolent prayer, I'm told that if you could see them physically, it's like a rainbow of light that goes from you over to where you made the prayer for. So, and there's rainbows of light coming from all over the world from millions of other people that are saying prayers for those same people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say benevolent prayers, if you say them in a group, Theo says that the sum of the parts, or the sum is greater than the parts. I'm not saying that correctly, but basically the energy that you create is much greater than if it was just you saying it by yourself. So I recommend for the people that belong to a church, if you notice a lot of churches, there will be someone up at the front praying, but everybody is listening, okay? So that's not that much energy being created. But if you're ever asked to get up and lead a prayer, then have people repeat the prayer with you, and that will create much more energy when you do that than it would have just standing up and saying the prayer by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Now, and so that actually reminds me of masterminding. Like for people that are masterminding, this actually sounds like, well, it feels to me like a swifter, smoother way than masterminding. If, you know, you get a group of people together and y'all are asking for benevolent outcomes and benevolent prayer, that feels more right in my world than doing masterminding.
Oh, okay.
So that may not be true for everyone, But, you know, as you were saying that and talking about the group of people and the outcomes, I was like, wow, that just feels very right for me. So thank you. Aha moment.
an aha moment, yes. We all have those.
So, we do.
So at this time, I might mention, if there's anybody that is listening to you in the Houston area, keep in mind I'm going to be down there this weekend at the Soul Explosion Expo at the Westin Hotel Galleria, and I'm going to be speaking at 11 a.m. on Saturday and 2 p.m. on Sunday, and then on Saturday afternoon I'm going to have a four-hour workshop that will go heavily into benevolent outcomes and other tools for your toolbox, and I will conduct a guided meditation where you can ask questions of your own guardian angel yourself.
Beautiful. And I want to remind everyone that's listening, Tom's website is thegentlewaybook.com. And Tom, are you anywhere else? Do you have any other dates scheduled? Are you going to be anywhere else in the United States or around the world?
Well, I know I'm going to be in Austin, I think, in early October, but I am open to traveling. Because I have this international film and TV distribution business, it has sort of prevented me from doing as much travel as I would like, but I am open in case there are groups that wish to sponsor me. I'll be happy to. One of the things I'm honestly doing is that I've recently started letting a couple of people in L.A. and all know that my film library, which is like 2,000 movies and TV series, is up for sale, and I'm doing that because I want to have more time to write. My next book is going to be Conversations with Your Guardian Angel, and I have another one or two books behind that. So I just don't have the time to do them right now.
Right. And so, Tom, the easiest way to get your book is through your website?
Sure. Right on the front page, they can click on it, and it'll take them right to Amazon, where they can buy it at a discounted rate. That's the easiest way. I think I also list in my newsletters that you can even call my publisher on an 800 number and order it that way. So there are a couple of ways. Or you can order it through your independent bookstore. Give them a little business, because as you notice, Borders is going out of business. And Theo tells me we will not have books in print in probably another 10 years or so.
Well, my daughter will be so disappointed, because she is an avid reader and she likes to hold that book in her hand.
I know. But the young people of today are so used to using those tablets and pads and everything. So that's the way the world's going.
Yes, we'll have to, she'll be 13, and so we'll have to be looking at getting her something a little bit more electronic and trying to get her used to that between now and the next 10 years.
There you go.
Yeah,
so she won't feel so left out. And they're going to make great improvements, Theo tells me, that, you know, they're going to keep improving these electronic readers so that has a better feel to them or whatever. I'm not sure what they're going to do, but he says they're going to have improved models.
Great. Wonderful. So for people that might want to invite you to their area, the best way to contact you is through the website with your contact information there?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And that'll be the easiest way. And just send me an email and we can go from there.
Perfect. And again, I want to remind you, it's thegentlewaybook.com. And Tom, we have just slightly over 5 minutes. Is there anything that we didn't cover today that you want to make sure people know about in your work?
I can give them a couple of other little things. People are always concerned about identity theft. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, if we can have everyone repeat this benevolent request after me, and if you can repeat it after me so that they can be saying it at the same time you do, okay?
Certainly.
I request a most benevolent outcome.
I request a most benevolent outcome.
That my identity in all its forms.
That my identity in all its forms.
Be safe and secure now.
Be safe and secure now.
And forever, thank you.
And forever, thank you. Great. And I want to point out, Tom, that every time you've said a benevolent request or asked for a benevolent outcome, you've said thank you. And I think gratitude is such a huge part of accomplishing that or receiving it.
Well, they'll do it no matter what because they do it out of joy and love to you, okay? But I say thank you because it's my recognition of them and the work because they volunteered for this work. Theo told me that he was the very first guardian angel to ever come to this universe, and he said that the job description was only golden light beings need apply. So, but they love this work. They love us, and it's quite fast work for them, if you can imagine. Theo handles 19,000 souls, and each soul has 6 to 12 fragments on average, having 600 to 800 lives with 12 parallel lives each. So they're busy people. Busy being.
Now, is that from the same soul grouping, or it doesn't necessarily work like that?
Well, the soul clusters are from the same soul, and Theo says that our soul group, you know, your soul group, will work with other closely aligned soul groups, so that as you go through these lives, you'll have, you'll be the mother of your daughter one time, and your daughter will be your mother the next, and maybe you'll be sisters the next, or brothers the next, and so on. And your daughter is probably not from your soul cluster. She's probably from a cluster that likes to have lives with you for your mutual learning.
Okay, and that could turn into a whole nother topic, I know.
Another hour, that's for sure. So keep in mind you can request benevolent outcomes when you're going to the airport, to go through security with no problems, to get your baggage up on time, or get your baggage early. So there are, and even when you're on an airplane, you can request a benevolent outcome to either sit next to someone that's interesting to talk to, or perhaps sit next to someone that doesn't talk at all so that you can work.
Right. Now, I know that you said that there's no limit to the number of outcomes we can ask for, but is there a number that you can ask for at one time? For those of us that are multitaskers and we might have different outcomes that we're wanting to achieve at the same time.
I sort of string them in a row, you know. I mean, that's the way I do it. And by the way, when you're stringing them in a row, you can say, I request the most benevolent outcome for my drive to the post office. And then after my drive to the post office, I request the most benevolent outcome for my drive from the post office to the grocery store. So you're setting these up individually in advance, but you try and do them as far in advance as possible, and it makes those drives much easier. And parking space is much, much better to get.
Right.
You can't request a parking space, 1 minute before you hit the parking lot.
Well, Tom, I'd like to thank you so very much for being on the show today, for sharing your wisdom, and for, taking the initiative to start working with benevolent outcomes, when you first heard about it, so that you could put this information out here and have this wonderful tool to guide us with.
Thank you. I enjoy it. It's my passion, as you can tell, and I really hope people will try and experiment with this, because you can stay on that dusty, hard path and have those walls set up in front of you, or you can have speed bumps. It's up to you.
Right, right. Well, I'm choosing speed bumps, so I will begin working with benevolent outcomes immediately. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So, Again, Tom, thank you so much. I want to thank our listeners today and in the future because I know this is going to be a favorite archived show. So I do hope that you'll join us again for other shows that are coming up. Again, I'll be here August 3rd with Karen Wrigley, where we'll be doing animal communication and channeled messages, and August 10th with Patricia Cota-Robles talking to us about all the changes that are going on the planet. Until then, I hope you have a wonderful and blessed week. It's great being with you soon.